So the reading today is from James 1, 2 through 6, and I have an introduction. And the introduction goes something like this. If I could give one thing to my sons, it would be wisdom. And as you just heard in the reading, it's not mine to give. Then I have a short story for you. I once worked for a man when I was very young, and he asked me this more than once. In fact, he had a nickname for me, and the nickname was Hot Rod. He would say, "Hot Rod, when are you going to cut your wisdom teeth?" And this man was a very fatherly man, and he was really concerned about how I was living my life. And he was the kind of man that made you feel like somebody. And he was really, if I had to put my finger on it now, I'd put my finger on, he was in the business of making people feel like somebody in the unspectacular, their day, just the average day of their comings and goings. In my view, he was an example to follow because of his kindness and his instruction. And to me, it was the very essence of leadership. You couldn't help but want to follow this man. And the key takeaway for me is that it took me way too long to learn what he wanted me to learn. And my prayer is that my sons get this early in life. Because this knowledge of God's wisdom makes the difference in life. It makes a difference in a courtship. It makes a difference in a marriage. It makes a difference in guiding a family. And it makes a difference in being a father. So here today is a lesson I prepared with the help of some great men who've pointed me in the direction of God's wisdom. And I'm not saying I'm wise, but I do have an increased awareness of this gift called wisdom. And today I'm just sharing a lesson that points out that every person has this gap, and it can only be closed by God. Specifically, this lesson is a lesson I once heard by another preacher, and it started with a paraphrase of verse 2, and it goes something like this. When all kinds of trials come into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. That kind of helps us with James' opening, doesn't it? In verses 2 to 4, trials are a privilege that God the Father allows us to experience. Joys and trials don't coexist in the mind of man. It's a paradox. It just doesn't seem to coexist. But James says, no. Joys and trials come as a package. And the trials make us mature and complete Christians. And it's really not easy to adopt this kind of perspective when going through this process of trials. It's not an easy thing to do. So James quickly gets us to verse 5. Ask God for wisdom. You know, you often hear the verse stand alone. But I'm driven somehow to always to keep Bible things in Bible context. And because verse 5 comes after verse 4 and before verse 6, the verses have to be tied together. If you really want to understand the essence of what James is teaching, we have to keep the verses bundled. So listen to what James is saying. You should count it all joy when you face trials in your lives, because the trial that you face will actually produce perseverance. Faith will be tested. You will grow. You will be mature and complete, and you will become the all-rounded Christian. However, if you're not getting this, If you find yourself in a way that you're not buying this, if you're tempted to think differently than what I just said to you, then you better ask God for wisdom. Because it's wisdom that you must acquire in order to think properly about these issues of life. So what James is saying, if the trials are not developing you into mature and complete Christians, you lack joy, then you need wisdom. So the big questions, three of them. What do we need? What should we do? What will we find? What do we need? Wisdom. James, notice how polite James is about this. Look how he presents this. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, then you must ask God for it. You know, none of us are going to stand up and say, well, I don't need wisdom. See how polite he is? It's all inclusive. He's with his words, he just included everybody. And by the way, intellect and education do not take the place of wisdom. It's not the same. If education is the answer, then the problem of AIDS or take drug abuse, they'd be totally smashed with education. There would be no problem at all because we solved it with education. So we know that's not true. Education does not eliminate problems. Wisdom stands alone. In other words, it's possible to be smart and unwise at the same time. Wisdom is moral. Wisdom is the behavior that emerges from a belief system. And I've heard many definitions of wisdom, but the one I heard in this lesson is probably the best one I've ever heard. And it goes like this. Wisdom is the information that God supplies turned into action. Wisdom is the information that God supplies turned into action. So we can look at this in an example. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God appears to Solomon in a dream and says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Listen how Solomon replied. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me servant king in the place of my father David. But I'm only a little child, and I don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among your people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give to your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? See how humble Solomon is. You made me king, but I'm just a little child. I don't know what to do. He's not proud. He's humble. You know, you can never be a proud person and a wise person at the same time. If you have a big head, you're not wise. In fact, the Bible states that the opposite of wise, you'll find it in there, is stupid. They may be intelligent, that's why their head's so fat, but they're not wise. So this is a really good place for me to say, this lesson went through my heart first. I don't have to go very far to find a topic to teach. The bathroom mirror is very revealing. So we got this humility as a precursor to biblical wisdom. Look what Solomon says. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. To distinguish between right and wrong. That's wisdom. Any system, whether it be education or government, that sets aside the notions of right and wrong will eventually collapse on itself. So now listen to how Solomon opens his book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a discipline and prudent life, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. What do we need? Wisdom. Wisdom means acting in the way of God's revelation of himself. Wisdom is knowing how to live God's way in God's world. The wise man and wise women know how to live God's way in God's world. There's a radical difference between the wisdom of the world and God's wisdom. Radical difference. That's why James says, you'll never grab hold of this paradox unless you get what you need. And what you need is wisdom from God. Second, if we need wisdom, what should we do? Well, in a phrase, we would ask God for wisdom. Verse 5, okay? Ask the God James identifies in verse 17. Ask the God that provides every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. The God that does not change like shifting shadows. You know, God's not one way on Sunday and another way on Tuesday. He's always the same. If you ask, do you receive? Maybe. Maybe. How should you ask? Simple. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Dear God, I need wisdom. I view trials as a majoring stumbling block in my life. Give me wisdom so that I may have joy. There is a proper way to make a request. Please and thank you come into play. So when we come before God, we need to remember that he is God. He's the creator of the universe. Yes, he wants us to seek him, but we must remember that he is God. And it's imperative that we come before him properly. Hebrews 22 says that we must come before him with a sincere heart and with a full abundance of faith. What James says is that we must believe and not doubt. That's in verse 6. You know, God knows if we really want his help or not. So if the wisdom comes out that we don't like, and we choose to reserve the right to do whatever is pleasing, in my view, this person is the doubter. So if in the face of trials, disappointments, and in our sufferings, it takes wisdom to see things in that way, then we need to come to him properly and ask him in childlike humbleness. Ask him to help us see things properly when we're in the trials. We need to ask him to help us see that our trials are to produce perseverance, and that we must finish its work so that we may become mature and complete and not lack anything. And it takes a heap of wisdom to see this, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And it takes wisdom from God to see that happiness is dependent upon really what happens, but joy is something that's independent to the chances and changes of our world. Joy is independent of the things that happen to us and the trials that we go through. And until we have wisdom to understand this, our lives are going to be like riding on a roller coaster. You have the highs and lows, highs and lows. And our life's going to continue to go on like this, the highs and lows, highs and lows. And it's in realizing all this, or having this or that, it doesn't really bring contentment. Material things really don't bring contentment. is realizing that contentment and joy is really found somewhere else and not in material things of the world. You know, it kind of looks to me that the request for wisdom needs to be specific. And just from examples in the Bible, I'm deriving this. Solomon says, God, give me wisdom so that I may discern right from wrong. God, give me wisdom so that I may have joy in the face of my challenges, as per James. God, give me wisdom that I may walk in your ways. God, give me wisdom so that I might be kind to others. God, teach me humility that I may obtain a small portion of your wisdom. So you have to take a tough and honest self-inventory, then ask God for wisdom so that you may correct your specific shortfalls. And you know you really have to be honest. And when we ask, we must not have doubts. You know, one horse is faith and the other is doubt. And we should not try to ride both horses at the same time. And the man that tries to do that should not think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. You know, I'm going, wow. I thought all you had to do is ask and you would get it. Wow. And I thought you could get whatever you want if you asked for it. But apparently not. Apparently not. And there's a way to come. All of a sudden I'm discovering there's a way to come right before God and ask for something and get absolutely zero. Nothing. You like the sound of that? I don't. So we need to find what are the causes, so when we come to our Creator in prayer, that we're on the receiving end of this bounty. So any thinking person has doubt, even if it's just for a moment or two, okay? And right now I'm considering that's not what all this is about. Consider this. What James is on or about here is the doubter is a person whose prayers and actions are clearly at odds with one another. Clearly at odds. Asking for God for things that they have clearly no intention of doing what they ask for. Famous prayer, St. Augustine. Well, St. Augustine if you were Catholic, okay? It's Augustine. Lord, make me pure. But not yet. But not yet. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. To receive the gift of wisdom and all that comes with it is to say no to hypocrisy. The kind of hypocrisy that prays for wisdom but acts in foolishness. Here's an example. God, what I want is your wisdom. Okay, he says, here's what you got to do. Stop your prideful behaviors because it's wrong. I want you to put away, it's all about me, and put the interest of others first. Reply, no thank you. I'm not interested in doing that. What I really want is things my ways and I want you to bless it. God's reply, no can do. So the prayer for wisdom is Solomon's prayer. It's discerning between right and wrong. And when we pray for wisdom, the answer is, and it always is, this is in, this is out. So in order to obtain the wisdom, we have to push whatever the in is in and push whatever the out is out. So whatever God says to bring in, you bring in. And to do anything else is certain failure. And this type of person that doesn't push, bring in what God says to bring in and push at what is out is out. This type of person is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind, the verse 8 man. He's double-minded and unstable in all he does. Young ladies, you have your permission to turn your cell phones on right now if you're dating this kind of guy. Text him and tell him to get lost. Save yourself. So what will we find? The landing gear's down. I'm coming in for my final approach. We're near the end. If we come to God sincerely in complete honesty, he will give generously without finding fault. You know, we have this ability to keep going back and saying, I know I was here last week and I asked for wisdom. I'm back again. We have this ability to keep coming back to God and asking for wisdom. And he doesn't find fault in us when we do that. I know when I asked a question in school more than once, I got a kind of, there was a fault-finding look. That doesn't happen with God. The trials are real. The hills are steep. And what we really need is his wisdom. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for this letter in your Bible. Help us receive your word. We ask you for wisdom, God, to help us act properly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, you need his wisdom. You know, wisdom begins by holding God in awe. And you can demonstrate this by responding to his son's invitation of baptism. And please come forward as we sing.